Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates each week on this channel called Prophecy Countdown. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays, our messages premiere at 11 a.m. Now, my topic today is something a little unusual. It's a question that we received from our audience, and the question is this: Is Super Tuesday in prophecy? Is Super Tuesday in prophecy? Well, we'll get into that. As our podcast name implies, our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. We love answering questions, particularly related to prophecy or anything in the Bible. If you have a question, send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. We love answering your questions. And again, that's how we receive a lot of these topics today. So as I'm writing this message today, it's Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday, of course, is when a number of states, I think there's 16 or 17 states, along with the District of Columbia, I think, enter into this contest, this political contest of determining who is going to be our candidate in November, plus also settling a lot of local and state issues. If you're paying attention to the national media, and I pray that you're not, you would think that our democracy is literally on the verge of collapse. Never before, or at least in my lifetime, has there been so much polarization, so much division between the two prominent political parties. It appears that the Main Street media is leading the way, blowing the bugle, and providing fuel for this division. You know, today there's people on both sides that claim that it's literally all over for America if their candidate, if their party doesn't win. Of course, most of us can remember just 4 years ago, the 2020 election cycle. It did not go well. There were riots in the streets. There was racial unrest. There was widespread looting. You know, some cities going back again 4 years ago were so lawless that large sections of their city was actually controlled by the mob. The police stood outside of the gated area. These were police-free zones, as if the establishment of a police-free zone would somehow lead to less lawlessness. Well, of course, it did not. So let's get back to my sermon title today, is Super Tuesday in prophecy? And of course, the simple answer is no. Most theologians have agreed that America seems to be absent in biblical prophecy, especially regarding the end of times. Despite, by any measure, the United States of America is the dominant superpower of this present era, has been since World War II. So here's another way to look at it. Not if Super Tuesday is in prophecy, but is it important? Are our elections important? Well, yes, we live in a constitutional republic, so we use our elections to determine our leaders. We don't have kings and queens that come to throne because of their birth or natural ascent, but we elect our rulers. And the election is actually extremely important. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 2, for example, that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. You see, I'm like many of you. I believe that America is in trouble. Now, if you take this verse in Proverbs 29, verse 2, and you equate it to an if-then statement, then according to if-then statements, the opposite is true. If the people, for example, if the people are groaning, the wicked are in authority. If the people are rejoicing, then the righteous are ruling. Well, could that be true? Well, I don't have the authority to change Scripture, but I think it's an interesting inference to the idea of how the people react to their authorities and who is in authority, who rules. Now, with regard to Super Tuesday and all of the elections this election year, do your duty. Do your duty and vote. As a believer, remember that you are part of the body of Christ. And in a democratic republic, Romans 13 tells us that we have a responsibility to engage. As a citizen of both the United States of America and the Kingdom of God, you have dual citizenship. Have you ever thought of that? Our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is actually the one that informs, it guides, it advises our citizenship in the United States. That's the ruling authority. Now, engaging responsibly means that we try to make decisions that are based on moral and biblical principles, not based on political parties or personalities. Now, political parties, I'm old enough and wise enough to know that political parties can do some good, but bottom line, they'll never save America. Only Jesus saves. And by the way, Jesus is not anxious for this election, regardless of what some people tell you. God is not troubled by polls. He's not troubled by legal maneuvering. He's not subject to the authority of the Supreme Court. He, in fact, is the supreme authority. Now, that should bring us comfort, because God is all-powerful. His purpose and bidding will prevail. Because he is loving, we know that God is good. We don't need to question God's motives. We can trust him. And whatever future we face, we have peace. We have peace not only in the present, but also in the future if we are in God. Now, this should bring us comfort. I'm also going to remind you that the Bible is also clear that God doesn't just judge people, but he also judges nations. So the question we have is, does America deserve judgment? Well, to answer that, we actually have to be God, and we are not. So what we can do is we can take a look at the history of Israel and some of the Gentile nations and determine from that. You know, 3,500 years ago, Moses warned the nation of Israel that obedience to God would bring blessings, and disobedience would result in judgment. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, for example, beginning in verse 1, Moses wrote this. He said, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. These blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country." In verse 6, Moses continues and says, "You will be blessed when you go out and when you come in. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated. And they will come from you in one direction, but flee from you in seven." Now, Moses also foresaw in the same chapter that if Israel disobeyed God, their enemies would conquer them. And history attests to the reality that Israel suffered repeated judgments due to their own disobedience. This is what the prophets told them, and this is what Moses reminds them in this same chapter, starting in verse 15. Moses says this, he says, "But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees that I'm giving you, all these curses will come upon you." And then he lists some curses. "Your towns and your fields will be cursed, your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed, your children and your crops will be cursed, your offspring and your herds and your flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed." And my friends, I do not want to be cursed. You know, today, America has left the moral foundations, the underpinnings that this country was founded upon. We have embraced the gods of materialism and hedonism, and God is not pleased. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter in Romans chapter 1 that could easily have been written to us today in 2024. I'm not going to read all the verses from 18 to 32, but you should. Romans chapter 1 and 2 is an amazing and startling revelation of what God thinks about, how God thinks about immorality. Here's just a few reminders from Paul. I'll begin in verse 18. Paul writes, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth in their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it known very obvious to them. They have no excuse for not knowing God. Yet they knew God but wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Sounds like today, doesn't it? Then verse 24, Paul continues. He says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful thing their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Even the woman turns against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with one another. And the man, instead of having normal sexual relations with men, did shameful things with other men. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, envy, hate, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. And then in verse 32, Paul kind of wraps it up. It says, they know that God's justice requires that those who do such things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. Could God be speaking to America through these verses? Well, I think possibly so. Now, if so, the Bible tells us that a nation's continuous sin will ultimately prompt God to allow them to indulge in pleasure, worldliness, idolatry, and wickedness only for a season. The scriptures warn that this pleasure will be short-lived and judgment will ultimately follow. You know, throughout the Bible, God warns that any nation departing from him will face judgment. Despite our biblical foundations, our missionaries, our amazing churches, our past revivals, today America is, my friends, an immoral nation. Pornography floods our newsstands, and we export this corruption worldwide. Our ungodly attitudes towards same-sex marriage, towards gender dysphoria, abortion, and human sexuality is championed as if it was something that actually should be celebrated in the United States today. The question is, how long will God delay judgment? Well, maybe not much longer. I tell you, unless our nation repents and turns to God, we will endure a judgment just as other Gentile nations have endured. So my encouragement to you after this talk, I guess we all need encouragement. We can all use a little encouragement. My encouragement is this. Don't look to elections or political parties to relief. Look to God. You know, the prophet Daniel gives us some encouragement in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel writes, blessed is be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. My friends, be wise and have understanding. As I said last week, God's got this. Rely on him. Turn to him. Rest on him. Pray for this nation. Pray for our elected officials. Pray for our judges. Pray for those in authority, both in Washington as well as our state capitals. God will do what God needs to do. Until then, and today, be faithful in all the little things. And as my Bible professor once told me, remember that all things are little. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father God, we want to thank you, Lord.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.